This episode of the ABZ Football Podcast is sponsored by Siberia Bar and Hotel on Belmont Street, Aberdeen, located only 30 seconds from the nearest bus stop, taking supporters to Pittodrie for free on match days. Siberia is open 7 days a week, all year round. And to get fired in with our exclusive discount code, head to the bar and quote ABZPOD for a £3 pint of Foster's, a £4 pint of Moretti or Dark Fruits, or £5 for a pint of Fierce or Adake. That's any day of the week, including match days. And if you're with the little ones and are looking for a spot of pre or post match lunch, remember, under 18s are welcome in the bar with an adult, so make a day of it at Siberia. Come on, you Reds.
Red slight of foot there. Bakashina!
Hello and welcome along to this special mini episode of the ABZ Football Podcast. I am Gary Scott and it's been a long protracted negotiation to get him here, but joining me this evening is Gavin J. Baxter. Gav, how are you?
It's not been long and it's not been protracted, but it is very early. I've caught the red eye to ABZ FP HQ to record this episode. We bring in our new Swedish manager.
Yes, indeed, Gav. A mere 77 days since Barry Robs was sacked by Aberdeen. 39 days. It does feel like longer, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
39 days since Neil Warnock shat the bed. Aberdeen Football Club have finally announced the appointment of our new permanent manager in the form of Jimmy Tillin, a 46-year-old Swede who will join from IF Elfsborg, it would appear, in June, alongside his assistants Imar Abajrami and Christer Persson, after having 6 years in charge of Degula. So, Gav, just like, suppose, initial thoughts on the appointment. It's been well trailed. It's taken a while to get over the finish line, but we are here now. Just your initial thoughts then.
A variety of emotions. Surprised that we've got this over the line. It sounded like it was pretty dead in the water to begin with when I think he said he was going to stick around at Elfsborg, being so close to the start of the Allsvenskan season. Relief that we've got ourselves a new manager, excitement, intrigue, because it's something new, it's out of the box thinking. And then, you know, nervousness, anxiety, all the classic emotions, because obviously nothing's guaranteed in this world. And we've put out what you'd imagine to be a significant outlay on our new manager here. And we really need to get this one right. So, yeah, a mixture of emotions, but the overriding one being excitement in welcoming Jimmy Tillin to Aberdeen.
Yeah, indeed. We'll have a bit more of a deeper look into Tillin in a minute or two, and a lot has already been spoken about Tillin already. He's probably the most poured across managerial appointment in Aberdeen history, it's probably fair to say. But let's look at the assistants. There's not been much talk about them thus far. So on his assistants, there's first up Emir Bajrami. He's a 36-year-old Swede who was born in Kosovo, had a very varied playing career as a winger, including two spells at Elfsborg, which sandwiched time at 20 in Schede, Monaco and Panathinaikos, capped 18 times for Sweden. So does come with a level of international and pan-European experience, which is something that both Tillin and the other assistant, Christer Persson, who's a 44-year-old Swede, are missing. Persson was, in fact, the sporting director at Jönköpings when Tillin was there before moving to Elfsborg in 2020 to take on the assistant manager role as well. Perhaps not a surprise that Tillin is looking to bring in members of staff from Elfsborg as well himself. But interesting appointments nonetheless as well. I think especially in the form of Emir Bajrami, who quite a young coach at just 36 years old, certainly has had a very, international career as well, opportunities outside of Sweden, which I think is important because neither, like I said earlier, Tillin or Persson have done that. Any thoughts just about the coaching setup as we understand it right now?
Is it bad that my very first reaction is how do Kosovoans and Montenegrins get on?
I don't know. I was going to go and check this and it's too early.
And Slovenian, and Ester Sokler, is he Slovenian?
I don't think Slovenia have got a big issue, to be fair.
No, okay. And North Macedonians, I mean, it's a whole big, you know, in that part of the world. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly interesting, sounding like they've got a lot of credentials, a lot of experience in different departments as well. His assistant, the one that you mentioned, who was the sporting director at his previous club, that's very good to know, because obviously there's going to be a big overhaul in terms of squad. And I think what we're looking at here with Jimmy Tilleen coming in as a manager, we're taking perhaps a little bit more of that control back of the football operation as such. We're obviously still waiting to hear who our technical director will be to work underneath Stephen Gunn. So to have someone with that kind of experience is a very good thing for me, especially. And, you know, they've been part of a setup for some time now, obviously. So there's obviously a good relationship between the three of them, and they know how each other works. And yeah, I completely understand his reasoning as to why he wants to bring in his people, trusted assistants. And I'm intrigued now to just find out what he's going to do in terms of integrating them into the setup, and where, in particular, Peter Leaven and Craig Sampson will play into that plan.
Without wanting to turn this into a geopolitical podcast, there's other ones out there you can look at if you really want to get involved in that. But I did think this was a case, but I thought I'd better check it before I said it. Serbia and Montenegro's relationship with Kosovo is how I would describe as being spicy. It's probably fractious. The best way to put it. Yes. So, yes, could be interesting. Let's look a little bit more at Jimmy Tilleen then. A moderate playing career, I think, is being very generous as a centre-half with IF Haga in the fourth and fifth tiers of Swedish football before moving into coaching in 2005. So made that jump quite early.
Initially very young, yeah.
Yes, very young. Initially with FC Lunagirum before joining Jönköping Soda's youth setup in 2009, where he remained until 2014, when he then took on the first team manager's role. In his second season in charge there, he led them to the Supertan title, securing promotion back to Sweden's top flight for the first time in 46 years for them, before then moving on to Elfsborg in 2018. So it's just coming up to 6 years that he's been at Elfsborg. And that 6 years really shows a manager developing a football club, steady improvements year on year, two second place finishes for Elfsborg in that period, the latter of which obviously came last season, where they lost out on the title on goal difference to Malmo. To date, with Elfsborg, 212 games played, 100 wins, 55 draws, 58 defeats as of last night. That's a win percentage of 47%. It has a level of European football match experience under his belt as well. Played 8 games in Conference League qualifiers, winning 4 of them, including a 3-1 win against Feyenoord in 2021 for Elfsborg. 1 draw, 3 defeats in that time as well. So that's beneficial. Hopefully we can find our way back towards European football in the not too distant future. Certainly after we win the Scottish Cup in May, that'll be no problem at all. Much made though of his tactical style and set up certainly seems to favour a hybrid between a 4-2-3-1 and a 4-3-3, with a big focus on utilising the wide areas for creative threat. Who'd have thunk it? The use of aggressive pressing triangles when out of possession. Indeed, Elfsborg were one of the most aggressive pressing sides in the Allsvenskan last season, and they also have a high focus on A, counter-pressing after losing possession quickly, and B, turning high recoveries into shots on goal. 66 of those in total across the season last campaign. Compare and contrast that to our meagre 29 that we've managed this season. To put that, I guess, into some context, Sevco and Celtic lead the SPFL on the high turnover into shots category with 53 and 50 respectively this season. So, you know, if you're looking at those sort of numbers that Elfsborg were making last season, you're going to be carrying a lot of additional threat in that final third if you can win the ball back high up the park. What I also find really interesting is this idea about forcing opposition defences into making errors, capitalising quickly on it. I think that'll be quite interesting to watch that play out in our league. Tilleen's side certainly not interested in slow build-up play. It's fast football with the ball being moved quickly and directly through the lines, but you shouldn't confuse direct, I don't think, with hoofball. It's generally big switches of play to move opponents around, create space in the corners, big diagonals to open up opportunities for the wingers. I did say they weren't interested in slow build-up play. Anyone that saw Elfsborg's the third goal that Hammarby scored last night against Elfsborg will now be probably doubting me on this, but there we go. And wait to hear this one. Defensively, Elfsborg have been rock solid, generally speaking, under Tilleen. Their high press has been keeping opponents away from goal. 26 goals conceded last season in the Allsvenskan. That was the lowest of anyone in the league. And what's also interesting is to watch the way that Elfsborg transition. If teams do get through their high press, they tend to then switch into playing with a mid block, closing the gaps up between defence and midfield. With that, perhaps does leave them slightly exposed, one would suggest, to pace over the top in that area. It's a very unique style of football that Tallinn has brought to the fore at Elfsborg. And, you know, my pick for the Aberdeen job 12 months ago was Marty Cifuente. Everybody will remember those days.
Oh, yeah, we all remember that.
Perhaps, though, in retrospect, now, Tallinn's style may be easier to translate into the Scottish game than someone like Cifuentes, who was much more kind of possession-based, a little bit more kind of tiki-taka type idea. Going to be very interesting, Gav. What's your thoughts on the kind of style part of what we can hopefully expect to see from Tallinn?
I mean, first things first, the defensive aspect of his game plan is encouraging to me, because I think I can't be the only one that has been frustrated with Aberdeen's defensive game for any number of years now, even dating back to Dennett McInnes, where it often felt like one ball through the middle and suddenly the opponents were attacking us with numbers in behind our midfield. So to know that over time, and I think one thing that we're going to have to be as a support is patient with Jimmy Tallinn, for him to get his ideas across to the players, be that the ones that are here or the new players he's going to look to bring in the summer. Not to say that he's got immunity to serve up total garbage, but I think this is going to take time to get right. But yes, a cohesive defensive strategy, both in the opponent's half and in our own half, is very, very encouraging. And as far as what we're going to do with the ball, like you say, being fast with the ball, being quite direct, not dithering on things, likewise, that'll be hugely encouraging, because that's been the story of things for, well, the 3 years that I've knowing the Dave Cormack reign, especially to be. So if we can have like a mixture of where we are, you know, a bit more grit, get a bit more pace, width, I'm looking forward to that again. Very much looking forward to seeing who he decides is worthy of a place in the team based on who's here right now, or if we're going to get a whole new raft of wingers, a la Jim Goodwin, hopefully a little bit better than Cal Roberts and Jaden Morris this time.
Yeah.
It's, on the whole, it's a very intriguing, very exciting appointment, and I look forward to seeing what he's going to bring to us.
Yeah, absolutely. As we record just now, June start date is still indicated, despite the fact that it would appear now that Aalborg's Oscar Hjelmark is going to be released from Aalborg to Elfsborg in the next week to 10 days, potentially. I don't know about you, I still think this will happen earlier than the start of June.
I do. I hope it does. If anything, just because I don't want to be in the situation where Jimmy comes in, you know, he still has to fulfill his obligations at Elfsborg up until that point, and his eye is not completely on the ball with Aberdeen. I'd like him to get in for the split and just to look at the players and not be in that situation where he comes in June and it's suddenly a clean slate and everyone gets a chance to prove themselves in the summer, and people who are not worthy of a place at Aberdeen are still here next season. I think that was one of the best things about McInnes coming in when he did, was getting that five games under the split just to suss out players, see who was worthwhile keeping and who needed to be shipped off elsewhere. So I do hope that he is here. And if he's not, then at the very least between him and his two assistants, they're taking a very close look at Aberdeen and already making their plans for next summer.
Yeah. Or involving Peter Leaven potentially within that
exactly
discussion point as well. And that might help as well a little bit, as if the current squad know that Leaven's going to be part of that managing, that coaching setup, because at least then it feels as though they've got something to prove within the last five games, even if Tallinn's not in the building yet. I just can't see a scenario where Elfsborg fans will allow Tallinn to remain until June if they have a sticky run of fixtures. I mean, they saw the defeat last night.
That's not going to help.
No, and you know, if you put yourself into that position, if it was us and it was Tallinn moving to down south, for example, and you knew it was going to happen 4 months away or 3 months away as we are now, and the results on the pitch weren't good enough, you'd be also pretty concerned that he just didn't have his full attention on Elfsborg at that point. They've got a European campaign coming up as well that they need to prepare for. if he starts 1st of June, he's not going to be there for that anyway. So surely you give a new man the time to look at what he wants to do and set themselves up for Europe. Presumably they want to make as good a fist of that as they possibly can.
It's a little bit like the same situation with Alan Burrows, isn't it? When he came from Motherwell, like the timing necessarily didn't make sense. But I think his words were that it made sense for Motherwell just to be able to make that shift from Alan Burrows being chief exec to life without Alan Burrows. I would find it, yeah, extremely frustrating if we were in a situation where our manager had agreed a contract to go elsewhere. And even if it's not the case, you know, it's what you see with your eyes. You'll think to yourself, if we're getting beat, you know, 3-0 by a mid-table team like Hammarby, you'll be thinking to yourself, well, this has happened because the manager's focus is elsewhere. So it would feel to me like it was best for everyone involved that they get their new man in from Aalborg as quickly as possible, and they can release Jimmy Tillian and he can get his foot in the door and start his work, because he's got a lot of work ahead of him as the Aberdeen manager.
He does. It's interesting to see now how he's going to be backed, isn't it? It's all very well us now spending good money to secure a coach of his standing, which is something we've been crying out for a while. But he now does need backing in terms of rebuilding the squad. Our current playing squad certainly doesn't appear on the face of it to lend itself to what Tillian will want to implement. So we're looking at another big summer overhaul coming up, probably the third in 3 years.
Yes. Yes. But it's the tragedy of our situation, if you want to call it that, is that we're probably going to bring in big money for Bojan Miovski in the summer. We're all probably banking on a little sell on fee for Lewis Ferguson, which is probably not going to happen now, given he's got that cruciate knee injury that he's picked up.
I think it'll still happen. If Malta goes to Juve, I think it still happens.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Go on, Thiago. You know, it makes sense. This money ends up just kind of covering up and masking the damage of the season. And if Jimmy Tillian comes in and he sees a big chunk of the squad isn't suitable for his style of play, then we're going to have to either, one, find new clubs for them, or we're going to have to pay off their contracts. And in the case of a number of these guys, it's going to be two years minimum. So yeah. There's a lot of money to be spent there. And then you go on to the chat of recruitment and bringing players into the club. He's going to need to be back. I can sense that it might not be as big an overhaul as perhaps it was with Goodwin, for example, or even Matt Robson this season. I think it'll be maybe more a gradual thing, and he will have to put squarish pegs in round holes. Sorry, the dog just distracted me there.
That's okay.
So yeah, he might need to find players that aren't necessarily ideal for him, but they might just have to, you know, roll bar them into the system for the time being, and then perhaps in January we can look to add a bit more. This will take time. I'm absolutely convinced of that. So we will need a level of patience that Scottish football does not tend to lend itself. And this is where we need to be strong as supporters in backing him, because he's going to probably come in for a bit of flack from the usual sources because he's an outsider. But obviously he's got to deliver as well. So yeah, there's a little bit of a marriage of things need to happen here.
Yeah, I get the view that most Aberdeen fans recognise that this will take a bit of time. And therefore, I think as people can see that there's a clearly defined style and a clearly defined way that he's trying to play, and it just needs tweaking, it just needs time to settle in. I think people will probably go with it. I think the problem will come if it's, you know, shambles for 6 months and we're locked into some sort of like relegation scrap all over again.
It'll be the same story. It'll be the same story as Glass, as Goodwin, as Robson. Yeah. If we don't see any visible sign of a cohesive strategy, then people will turn on it pretty quickly.
The one thing that we'll touch on in a minute or two when we speak to Glenn Hovick, Tillian doesn't appear to be completely wedded to the philosophy and the style. If it's not working out for him, he's willing to adapt to do something different. And that is a big shift away from certainly the last three incumbents, four probably. McInnes was guilty about this as well, in fairness, where they were just so wedded to a particular way of wanting to play. It's taken a lot of time to get this one over the line. But credit where it's due to Dave Cormack and to the FMV for persevering, at least, in getting this one done.
Sure. I think if you consider the conversation around BPTC, I'm not really sure how much our board has had a role in this as such. I mean, it's conjecture. I mean, if perhaps Jimmy Thielen was someone on the radar already, if he was being looked at before by Robson took the job full time, then in that sense, I kind of hope that BPTC are not getting a finder's fee for it. I think this is one of these things, like how much attention gets paid to social media and that, because Jimmy Thielen felt like it was dead in the water to me. And then we moved on to the usual suspects and people weren't interested. And I'm sure that's been seen in ticket sales for next season. Some of the names that were going around, that, I mean, I still haven't got my season ticket because I was waiting to see who the new manager would be.
So you'd be straight down.
If it was any one of, you know, the Lennons, O'Neills, fucking Jack Rosses of this world, then I would have had a serious conversation about going back next season. Being Thielen, yeah, I'm all for it. I think they've delivered what the fans wanted, which is something different, something new, an outsider, and someone with a track record of having a philosophy, not being wed to that philosophy, but still having a clear strategy of how he wants his teams to play. And between both Elfsborg and the team prior, whose name I will just butcher if I try and say it,
Jon Koppings,
a track record of delivering success that goes above that club's means. And that's what we need as Aberdeen to be successful. So he feels on paper like a pretty near perfect appointment. So and, yeah, fair play.
And on an upward trajectory still as well. His career is on the upward swing rather than it being a guy who's been somewhere and failing, notwithstanding defeat at Hammarby last night.
And despite being 46-year-old, nearly 20 years experience in coaching. So he's by no means any kind of whippersnapper, but yeah, he'll know the importance of this job if he wants to move on to be it down south or other clubs on the continent. So it's a risk. Nothing is guaranteed in this world, of course. And he's taking a bit of a gamble with his reputation. So yeah, everyone, this needs to work for all parties.
As always though, you know, what do we really know about these things? Always good to get the thoughts on or from those who have been much more up close and personal with the likes of Jimmy Thielen than anyone else. So here's Glenn Hovick, supporter of IF Wolfsburg, host of their podcast, number 8, to talk about Jimmy Thielen. Hi Glenn, welcome along to the ABZ Football Podcast. How are you?
It's good. Closing into the weekend, so pretty good here.
Oh good, that's what you want. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today, as we're going to discuss the appointment at Aberdeen of Jimmy Thielen as he departs Elfsborg alongside his assistants Emir Bajrami and Christer Persson after 6 years in charge of Degula. I guess, Glenn, before we get into proper detail about this and what maybe Aberdeen fans can expect from Jimmy, just as an Elfsborg fan yourself, I mean, how do you feel about the news kind of being finally confirmed now that Thielen is going to be moving on from Elfsborg?
Nothing is confirmed yet, but the feeling is that this really is happening and it's not a big surprise. It's kind of expected. And to be honest, I'm pretty glad that it's in this positive note. It could be that we had to change manager because of some bad results or so. That's the most typical way to change manager. So of course, it's sad to don't have Jimmy because he has done a great impact on Elfsborg, but it's expected.
I mean, in terms of the discussion as well around, you know, as we talk at the moment, a lot of speculation is there that Jimmy will remain at Elfsborg until at least after the game with IFK on the 1st of June, which is when the Swedish league breaks up for the summer break. I mean, how, again, as an Elfsborg fan, how do you kind of feel about that? Do you think that perhaps you see his departure accelerated once Elfsborg can make an appointment of their own to replace him?
This is always hard as a Swedish football supporter because we have a different season. Our season started now, so it's always hard to do this when the managers want to go out in Europe. I think this is the best way to do it. It's sad, but it's the best way. Then I also think all Elfsborg supporters are worried because we will play Europe this summer and all that. But my big worry is more about Jimmy have done a great impact in the club in that sense that he have created like a full network. He have surrounded himself with good people. He have done a lot of things that influence the full club. It's not only manager. He's not only the tactician. So that will be hard and we will have a transfer window and all that. So it could be a bit messy this summer. Yeah.
Yeah. I think as well, though, this is one of these situations. If I put myself into your shoes, okay, I know my manager's going to leave and he's going to leave on like the 1st of June. And just say, for argument's sake, you guys get off to the next 3 or 4 weeks, the next 3 or 4 games are not great results. You maybe don't win games you expect to. That's also when pressure maybe starts to build, doesn't it? About, is the manager's focus really fully on us because he knows he's leaving in a few weeks' time? And as you say, you know, you guys have got European football to look forward to, which will roll around very quickly after the 1st of June as well, as we know, you know, from the way the Scottish season finishes, how quickly we enter the European stage. You're kind of going to want to have a new manager have time as well, aren't you, then, to really have an opportunity to get to know his squad, his team, his players, and get them ready for that European campaign?
Yeah, of course. But also, like I said earlier, it's not only about like prepare the team for this. It's more about like the transfer window. As a Swedish football supporter, we are used to have players going out to other clubs in Europe. Now we also maybe have a manager going out in Europe. And then this new manager or this duo they are talking about, like new managers, they need to like do their things in transfer market. I guess we need to sell some players and all that. I hope we'll be a top flight team in Allsvenskan also. So the timing will always be discussed.
Yeah.
This was discussed this winter as well. And a lot of people talked about the timing already then. So this is hard. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's just talk about Jimmy Tillien's time at Elfsborg. I mean, in the main, it's been a very successful one, you know, generally very steady progress year on year, helping to really solidify Elfsborg's position in the kind of upper echelons of Swedish football. 2 second-place finishes, obviously the most recent one of those coming last season, just missing out on goal difference on the final day. Comfortably finished ahead of BK Häcken, who dumped Aberdeen out of the Europa League last season as well. I guess perhaps a lesson already there for Aberdeen fans to heed, though, is in the first season that Tillien had with Elfsborg, where you finished 12th in the Allsvenskan, which was the lowest position you'd finished in certainly for, you know, a decade prior to that. But Elfsborg as a club, as a fan base, appeared to have a level of patience with Tillien to develop and build his own team. Do you think that Aberdeen fans are maybe going to have to adopt that same level of patience? It's not perhaps something we're necessarily well known for.
You need to have patience, because that's something you need to have when you have Jimmy Tillien, and it have not been easy all the time here in Borås. The first year there were a lot of doubts from supporters, and we also had some banners on the terraces. But I would say that he is really flexible, and he changed this. And the thing he did was to like get his own players, and he changed the attitude. He started to play more aggressive. He had more tougher players, and he was like changed the identity of Elfsborg, not only on the pitch, everywhere. And the first year was awful, but we saw some improvements already in 2019. And 2020, I would say, his style was something that influenced the full club, and he made impact from then.
Yeah. Tillien's style of play is certainly one that I think has got most Aberdeen fans very excited. You know, the high press with intensity, counter-pressing to win possession back quickly in the final third, quickly striking when space opens up. It's probably true as well that the appointment of Tillien has been the most analysed by the Aberdeen support of any managerial appointment in our history, because of just the nature now of analytics and how easy it is to get data and pore over it and how long this process has taken. But as someone who's actually sat and watched it and seen it in action, what can you tell us to expect?
He is the best manager I ever seen in being well prepared. Everything you can do before a game and prepare your team and all that, he is the best. And if we talk about the playing style, yeah, we have been good in counterattacks, but that was not the way in the beginning. The first year, we wanted to have more possession. Then it was like a change, and we had good results playing more on counterattacks and letting the opponents do mistakes, because that was really what's happening, that we had high pressure and made our opponents doing the mistakes. And the bad thing about this is that we are not a good team with possession. When we play like lower defense team, or we had situations last year when our opponents had red cards and we couldn't score goals because it's tough. We have played like we needed the mistakes from the opponents to be great. But also he adapted this because he said he had this player and he were flexible to see that this is the way we want to play. And then he saw also that we needed like this aggressive style and to be more tougher. And then we had a change in mindset everywhere.
I mean, I guess as well, you know, in your opinion, do you think that his style, his tactical setup, which you've seen obviously in action now for the last few years, do you think that can translate well to the Scottish League? This is the thing that I think is going to be the most interesting piece to watch.
That's interesting. One thing I want to say, though, is that he's the most international manager I've seen. He have been great in like mixing the cultures. We have a lot of African players. We have new transfer markets now than we had before Jimmy Tillin. So I think that will be a good match, that he will be that kind of international manager. But then this thing with the patience you need, that's something I don't really see in Great Britain overall. I see in England and in Scotland that you sack your manager pretty fast. And that could be something that's a challenge. You need to have patience. And if you have patience, you will be happy with him.
One of the criticisms of, and this is something you touched on a minute ago, one of the criticisms we've had of a number of our previous managers has been that complete inflexibility to move away from what they perceive to be their philosophy or their style when things are not working. And you just touched on it there from your time watching Tillin. He seemed, and from everything I've read, he seems to be very good at reading a game situation and being willing to adapt in game and also in advance of games as to whether that style he maybe think would work is actually working at that time. And that appears to be a really good strength of his, is a willingness to adapt and to be flexible.
Yeah, but it's not only about games. I would say he is the most professional and international manager we had, but that's more about also the training methods, the people around him. He's really good to involve the right people. He have the eye for that. And I also think that he have the best leaders around him that match him in the things that he is not the best in. So that's why I think you need patience. You need to like adapt to these new training methods for a while, and then you will see the results in the games as well. So, yeah.
And you just touched on it there as well. In terms of recruitment, it looks as though Tillin's obviously been very heavily involved in the recruitment processes at Elfsborg. Aberdeen run a slightly different model, or we have been to date, which is very data-driven. Perhaps the first-team coach not necessarily having the final say on everything from a player recruitment perspective. But Tillin certainly appears to have been very successful at, just as you touched on there, getting the most out of players from a number of different markets, you know, Scandinavian, from European markets, and also from the African market, which is a market Aberdeen have not really been involved in to any great extent recently. So he does appear to be a manager there, as you just touched on, who looks like he's capable of motivating and handling different personalities and different cultures in the dressing room and how you get the best out of them.
Yeah, and also in a manager in Elfsborg, that's like the sporting director also. We don't have that much people, so he have a lot of mandate here in Elfsborg. But the thing with Jimmy also, when we're talking about the transfer market, he have been more like buying substitutes or the reserves that are ready when the top player going out in Europe. So it's always one step ahead. We have bought these like African players like 1 year before they are in the starting 11. And that can be kind of boring, but we also know that when he do a recruitment, that's always a successful one. I don't only think we have like two or three recruitments since he came here, and we have done a lot of recruitments because we have sold a lot of players and earning money selling players out in Europe. This winter, we sold our goalkeeper to Brentford in Premier League.
Yeah,
and that's like a typical Jimmy Tillin recruitment. A goalkeeper from Iceland, second division. No one knew nothing about him. He was on the bench for 1.5 years. Then he is one of the best goalkeeper I ever seen. So he's great in like transform this player to great players.
Yeah, and I think that will fit nicely with Aberdeen's kind of model in terms of how we are currently looking at transfers. That's one of the things we absolutely have been looking to do a lot more over the last few seasons, is picking up unknown players from leagues that we normally wouldn't look at, having them for a season or two, developing them and then hopefully moving them onwards. Just a couple of last quick questions, Glenn, and just to let you go. But I mean, I guess Jimmy spent his entire footballing career in Sweden, both as a player and as a manager. How do you see him adapting to a different country, a different footballing style, a different environment? The Scottish football environment is pretty unique, I think it's probably fair to say, just in terms of how under the magnifying glass it is from the media in this country. How do you think he'll cope with that for the first time in his career, kind of leaving the Swedish leagues?
Like I said earlier, he is the most internationally minded manager we ever had in Elfsborg. And he's used to dealing with these different cultures and languages. And in Elfsborg right now, the language they speak in the dressing room, that's English. And I see all these signs around the dressing rooms and all that. That's in English. He's used to this. But like, I also think that he wants to be part of the British football culture. I think he wants to do that step because he likes to be in Scotland. And I also think he see the opportunity he gets to like be in like around England, Scotland. I think that's the way he wanted.
I guess on that as well, that's maybe the last question. Are you surprised a little bit that it's Aberdeen that Tillin has decided on his next destination being? He has been linked, you know, in the not too distant past with moves to the English Championship, for example. Are you surprised, or people in, you know, Elfsborg fans, people in Sweden surprised that it's Aberdeen that looks like he's going to be heading for next?
Not really. It's been re-rumors for four teams. It's been Westerlo in Belgium and Sunderland, Swansea, and now you and Aberdeen. So it makes sense it's in Scotland.
Great stuff, Glenn. I really appreciate you taking the time to sit, talk to us about Jimmy Tillin. Obviously, as we say, as we're talking at the moment, it's not quite confirmed as yet, although all the signs appear to be there. So fingers crossed we don't have to put this onto the cutting room floor. It'll never make its way out. But Glenn, really appreciate the time. It's much appreciated. It's been great getting to talk with you as well, just on Twitter DMs over the last little while as well, just to find out what's going on. So much appreciated, and wish you and Elfsborg all the very best for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
So there we go, Gav. As we said right at the start of the show, it's done. Finally, we know who it is going to be. Jimmy Tillin becoming the 26th individual to hold the permanent manager's chair at Aberdeen Football Club. The second, of course, only to have come from outside the British Isles. Good to get it done. Any final thoughts?
Just on the note of him being the second manager out with Britain to become the manager of Aberdeen, I hope he ends up as popular as the first, but with a track record that maybe justifies a little bit more.
Yes, that seems like a very apt way to finish things off there. So there we go. Jimmy Tillin, Aberdeen Football Club manager. We've been the ABZ Football Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Gav.
Thank you.
Join us next time on the show, which will probably be, hopefully, as all timings work out, will be to talk about the Scottish Cup semi-final and our place in the final of said competition. And then we'll look forward to whatever fixtures we're going to be playing in the post-split, because apparently SPFL can't announce that until Sev Quindundee have played whoever the fuck they're playing on Wednesday evening. So join us for that. We'll see you then. Stand free.
Nice one. I'm going to go have some meatballs and listen to some ABBA.
This episode of the ABZ Football Podcast was brought to you in association with Siberia Bar and Hotel on Belmont Street, Aberdeen. Head into the bar, quote the phrase ABZ Pod, that's ABZ Pod, for a £3 pint of Foster's, £4 pint of Moretti, or £5 pint of Fierce any day of the week, including match days. Siberia is open 7 days a week, all year round, and the bar is located only 30 seconds walk from the nearest bus stop, taking supporters to Dodger Stadium for free on match days. Come on, you Reds!